And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I am Phil Hendry, and thank you very much, John Frost. I think it's time we look at something, and it happens to the best of them, but I think it's time that we look at the very real possibility and the very, I think the very distinct probability that Steven Spielberg is losing a step. And afford me this opportunity to tell you what I think. He's a movie maker. It isn't certainly one of the more pivotal issues of our time, but I think if you're like me and you've enjoyed his work down through the years, I think we have to come to a realization, as crushing for many of us as it may be, that he is losing it. Now, we have, of course, the evidence of AI, but most recently something I think a little bit more disturbing, the stench of Jurassic Park 3, a film that by all rights should be dominating the summer box office, got its ass kicked last weekend by a substandard remake of Planet of the Apes. What is going on? Yeah, I know what you're going to tell me. He didn't direct Jurassic Park 3. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's, yeah, uh-huh. Just like he didn't direct Poltergeist. Yeah. Tobe Hooper, that was his vision. Look, anytime you see produced by Steven Spielberg, you can rest assured the dude directed it too. Now, I held out hope. I know a lot of you did. In recent years, I think he'd found his opening. Hard-hitting historical drama done better than anybody's ever done it. Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan. All right, he misstepped with Amistad, but that's only because he made what any director would have seen as a fatal error in casting Matthew McConaughey. Other than that, that movie had a chance. It had a chance to make it to the lifeboat without getting carved up in the propeller blades. But no, he had to tie a weight around the waist of that sinking film, and the weight, of course, with Matthew McConaughey. I have nothing against the gentleman. I'm sure he is a good man. I saw him in Lone Star, terrific actor when he finds the vehicle, but as soon as he popped on there with the mutton chop sideburns, the little wire rim spectacles, and yeah, right. 1835, and when a guy wins a case, he jumps up, pumps his fist in the air, and does the running man. You know what I'm saying? You're directing that movie. Wouldn't you calm that actor down a little bit? But forget it's not about Matthew McConaughey. It's about Steven Spielberg. We have now before us the evidence of a creative talent adrift. I know that what I'm saying is going to make a few people angry. Okay, now let me just get her on the air here before she's on hold much longer. I know what you're going to say. Wait a minute. I know what you're going to say, Margaret.
But do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I know. I have full knowledge of what I'm doing.
Because I'm thinking right now more about you. I'm not sure you know what it is that you're doing. But you've got to stop, Phil.
I'm talking honestly about a filmmaker who I've admired.
Steven Spielberg isn't one of the most powerful men in the history of Hollywood for no reason. And what you are doing is committing media suicide.
I feel like I need to say some of these things, okay? Because,
Phil,
because maybe we'd all like to see Mr. Spielberg hit a new height.
I'm thinking of you. I'm not thinking. You have some television opportunities. I know you've spoken to film people.
I haven't let that out. What are you talking? I've talked to film people.
Phil, it's what I do for a living, all right? I've got my ear to the ground.
All right, well, what's wrong with me criticizing Steven Spielberg?
You know the answer to that question, don't you? Because you wouldn't have started what you were saying today with all of the preamble and all of the qualifications. You know what you're doing. You don't criticize. He knows too many people. He has his hand.
Well, I'm tired of people being silent about it. I'm tired of nobody saying anything. The movies, the last two movies he did, suck. And if you throw in Amistad, the last three out of the last five movies he did, pardon me, because it is sort of a Planet of the Apes reference, Blue Apes. And
Steven Spielberg, Phil, has...
He's not in radio, okay? Let's be...
No, but he is in film, and film controls television. Television controls radio, and by extension, Steven Spielberg controls you.
Well, moviegoers are going to slowly stop seeing his movies. People are going to slowly stay away. And
well, whether they do or whether they don't, that's not the point. I don't think that that's going to happen, but even if people thought they could get away with not going to a Steven Spielberg movie, there are a few things we all need to think about. Number one, Kate Capshaw. He's all she's got.
Now look at Margaret. We need to return...
He's all that Kate Capshaw has got. Without her, she has no career. she's pushing the shopping. If you don't see Steven Spielberg movies, you also slit your own throats. And now I'm talking to your listeners. Your children grew up on Spielberg movies. They're a pretty damn good... No, excuse me, Phil. They're a pretty goddamn good generation of kids.
All right, now you need to watch your language. You're telling me what to say about Spielberg?
What?
You're telling me what to say? Watch your language.
I'm just very, very concerned that what you're trying to do is torpedo a great man. And in the process, you're going to cut your own throat from ear to ear. The blood and all of the capillaries, everything's pouring out of your neck. Because...
Oh, my God. All I'm doing here is talking about a man, a great filmmaker. We need to say it. The guy's blowing it. He's doing too many kiddie movies. He's
doing all the kiddie movies. This is the generation of kids today that would be... They would be pregnant. They would be on dope, and they would be stupid if it wasn't for Steven Spielberg.
You believe that?
Yes, I do. Look at today's generation of 20-somethings, the Generation X, the Y, and what have you. Wonderful kids, all came of age on Spielberg movies. Your generation, coming of age on what? Hal Ashby garbage, Dr. Zhivago, and every other kind of facile entertainment, and look at you.
Yeah, look at us. We're the parents of those 20-something kids.
Well, LSD, every other... Phil...
Okay, so Spielberg saved the generation.
And if we drive him out of movies, which you'll never do, by the way, you'll never do it. But if he wasn't around, these kids would be in big trouble.
I came on the air today.
You can't do it, Phil. You cannot say... I'm telling you as a friend, you openly criticize Steven Spielberg. There are a lot of people that aren't going to take your calls.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number.
No, so what are you doing now?
I'm opening up to people to call in.
So what you're doing now is you're inviting people to call in and cut their own throats.
Oh, come on. They're going to... If they want to talk about how good they think he is...
If you get people criticizing him, you are going to cut your own throat and you're going to stick all of them on a spit, too. Slowly cooking in Steven Spielberg's backyard. Huh? What do you think of that, Phil?
Don't threaten me, Margaret.
No. You opened up this little kettle of fish. What do you think about it?
Don't threaten me. I have every right in the world. Okay, so David Hall is on the line.
David, yeah, Phil, this is... I just got to tell you something. You got to stop what you're doing.
David, I came out of the Beverly Center. I turned on my radio, and I couldn't believe it.
No, I know. I got a call, Phil, from Jack Featherstone.
Okay, look, why can't I at least... You want me to come on here and say things? Freedom of speech.
No, I am directing you now. I am directing you now to stop criticizing Mr. Spielberg. I don't need advertisers running from your show because they're afraid of what Mr. Spielberg's liable to do to them and their businesses.
Are we insane or do we? Is there no freedom of speech?
Phil, there is plenty of freedom of speech.
No, that's not the point, Phil.
There's plenty of freedom, except when it comes to Mr. Spielberg. There's no freedom of speech there. We live in Iraq when it comes to him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No freedom of speech.
You can't do it, Phil.
He has done too much for too many people in this town. He's employed thousands. He's made money for thousands. His films stand for so much. And, Phil, with all due respect to you, he's done so much more than you're ever going to do with your life.
The people he's helped, Phil. The children he's helped.
Oh, I see. So now it's about my life.
No. What I'm saying, in my life, he's doing more than anything anybody's ever done.
What are you trying to prove?
So let me tell you something. But when you sit there and exhale...
I wanted to say something.
Let me tell you something. Jack Featherstone heard your comments. He was sitting with his wife having dinner. He heard your comments and vomited out of fear.
Oh, my God.
He vomited spontaneously in front of total strangers at P.F. Chang's. Now, I'm ordering you to stop.
You hire me to do a show.
I'm ordering you to stop.
I'm just saying, you hire me to do a show. You hired me to have opinions... And then when the opinions start flowing, you call me up in the middle of that and you tell me to stop.
Just on this one subject, Phil, you don't touch Steven Spielberg.
Phil, you can do anything you want. You can talk about what you want. In L.A., you don't talk bad about Steven Spielberg. Or he will disembowel you critically and career-wise.
Just on this one, the critics knew it. Let's look at A.I. You mentioned A.I.
Yeah.
All the critics knew that was a turd, but they weren't going to say it. They say it, and they're dead. They're in a garbage can.
What about my listeners? What if they have a negative opinion?
You steer them away from it.
You don't let them talk about it.
We're talking about their well-being as well as yours.
You understand what I'm saying, Phil?
I understand. I got to give our phone number. 1-800-449-8686. I think it's very interesting. I think people are getting an insight now into what talk radio is all about. So I see. Talk about anything you want, Phil, but let's not talk about Mr. Spielberg.
Only Mr. Spielberg. You know what he has done.
I know he's employed lots of people, made a lot of good movies. It's just an opinion that lately his films suck.
I'm telling you not to do it. And I'm telling you not to do it as a friend, as well as an employer. Phil, did you see Temple of Doom?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember the scene where the guy stuck his hand into the guy's chest and pulled out his heart?
Very compelling.
Very compelling scene. Do you know what a man is capable of who can think up stuff like that?
That was a special effect.
That was a special effect. But what do you think Steven Spielberg is capable of if he can think up something in a movie where you stick your hand into a man's chest, pull out his bloody beating heart, and then it explodes?
Very thick.
This is a man capable of anything.
What about in Jaws? He had Robert Shaw cut in half by a shark.
Do you know the kind of mind a man has to have to think of that kind of sadism? And Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List, the sickest, twisted, most unbelievably violent things.
Violent.
What do you think he's capable of?
Oh, so now all of a sudden I got to wait for him to crawl in my window at night? Is that...
I'm just saying. People have been crushed. People have been defenestrated. People have been eviscerated. People have been disemboweled, tortured, mutilated in his films.
He's capable of anything, Phil. And
you don't screw with it. Now, I'm giving you this advice as a friend.
I fail to see how this is relevant. That...
You fail to see how it's relevant, huh? Do you remember in Saving Private Ryan where the guy's looking for his arm? You want to be looking for something? And I'm not saying it's going to be your arm. You want to be looking around like that, what's his name, Margaret?
Bobbitt.
The Bobbitt guy?
I got to take a break.
Take your break, but think about what I'm saying.
Phil, it's really important for you. It's not so much Mr. Spielberg.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I started off the show this hour talking about how I think his movies have gone downhill. I get it. I now got it. My programming chief. Why am I nervous? My programming chief calls up, and my one of the premier film critics in this town calls up and tells me to back away from it. Just because Steven Spielberg puts something in his movie where he rips the heart out of a guy's chest doesn't mean he's sick, does it? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
In the film Raiders of the Lost Ark, there is a collection of Nazis. I'm sure you remember it, David.
I remember well.
They melt. They are burned alive in the most horrible fashion. That came out of the mind of Steven Spielberg. If that kind of horror can leak out of his infected mind, what could he do to you? For criticizing his films.
I think he put that into a movie. You know, there have been people who've criticized his movies. I think his movies lately have been weak. And,
I'm saying, but what is he capable of? What kind of mind conceives of burning humans alive? For the entertainment, by the way, Phil, of under 18-year-olds.
That's the thing you got to think about. He put that into a movie he meant for kids. He does that to people in a movie. What do you think he's going to do with you? Where are they going to find you? Under what wheelbarrow are they going to find you? And when they do, what major organs are going to be missing? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think the two of you are engaging the most outrageous flights of fancy of violence against me because I've criticized Steven Spielberg, and I'm not even doing that. I'm simply saying the guy lately has made some bad movies.
You're wrong, Phil. You're wrong for doing what you're doing.
Am I right about his movies? That's what I want to know. Kathy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. This
yes,
is
ma'am.
Kathy.
Go ahead.
Kansas City. And I really feel that you have the right to say anything you want to say. And
not
anybody
about
that's
Steven
been going to the movies lately knows that the film Steven Spielberg has been putting out are stinkers.
But you can't say that.
You can't say that.
No, you can't.
Truth is truth.
How
and truth can
many...
be said any time, night or day.
Do you know how
period.
Powerful? You know, you're I don't know where you live, Kathy, but here in Hollywood, he controls a great many jobs. You criticize...
I understand that. Here in Kansas City, I control a great many jobs.
Well, you're lucky.
And it's easy
for you to sit in Kansas City and put Phil's job
on
the line.
Wrong is wrong.
She's making a good point. No, she's making a good point.
A stinker movie is a stinker movie.
It's easy for you to say that in Kansas City while Phil's job is on the line in Los Angeles. Do you understand?
Can you relate?
Can you relate to that kind of thinking?
Hey, Phil, come on
to Kansas City.
Come on to Kansas City, Phil.
There's a great career move, Phil. Go to Kansas City.
Look,
and we love you.
I'm talking about the people who want to criticize his movies.
Well, you go to Kansas City there with Kathy, and I'm sure she'll give you a stacked meat sandwich at her restaurant for free.
It's not about Kansas City. It's just about whether I got the right to say what I want to say. Gene, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, I agree with you. I am sorry that other guy is trying to make Steven sound like he's the godfather, you know, and he's going to stick a horse in your bed. And as far as I'm
concerned, what do you think kind of a mind is capable of some of the horror that he's put in his movies?
Oh, come on. This is supposed to be movies. We're supposed to go to movies to escape reality, fantasy.
Gene, the fact that he can think up ripping a man's heart from his chest while it's still beating. Phil, do you remember in Raiders of the Lost Ark when that big German gets chopped up by the airplane propeller?
Yes.
Yeah.
What kind of a... I wasn't talking to you, Gene. I'm talking to Phil.
Excuse me.
What kind of a sick mind would have a man chopped into tartar, into steak tartar, by an airplane propeller? Do you care to comment on that, Gene?
Well, all I can say is he's going to make movies, will you hush and listen for a minute?
But you're avoiding the question.
Let the lady in Dallas say something.
I'm saying if he's going to make movies for kids, then make movies for kids. You know,
I agree with Phil here,
and you're trying to make Phil feel like he's going to lose his job, lose his head, and everything else.
First of all,
and I think you're more worried about yours than you are about Phil.
No, what I'm worried about is
Phil,
the fact that you don't criticize Steven Spielberg. Don't do it. You'll be turned into
a tomato. Come on, if he can't take a little bit of criticism, then, you know, he ain't the man I thought he was.
Well, what kind of a man did you think he was?
I thought he was a pretty great guy myself.
Because
he doesn't make all of his movies aren't great. I mean, so what?
You thought he was a pretty good guy? Well, I've got news for you, Gene, because I work and live in Hollywood. Steven Spielberg conceived of having Robert Shaw chewed up, have the blood come out of the mouth, and the girl, she was eaten up with just one arm left. Do you remember that in Jaws, just the arm, that's all they found?
Yeah, then why would you work for somebody like that?
Pretty good guy, huh? I don't work for him. I'm a film critic.
The point is that we don't want anything to happen to Phil or his job. And you don't criticize Steven Spielberg because he pulls a lot of strings in this town. And
what did you guys, candidly, what did you think of Jurassic Park 3?
I thought it sucked.
It was terrible.
Okay, then why can't you say it?
I didn't go see it.
Because you can't say that.
I didn't go see it because I didn't want to see it. I saw the previews, and that was enough for me.
Do you remember the big retard in
Goonies? I've seen these other movies, and they were great.
Okay,
Gene. But that one I didn't want to see.
Gene, darling, do you remember in the movie Goonies, the big retard who wound up with his eyeball on the side of his face?
Yes.
You want to see people, you want to see that happen to other people in real life?
Oh, okay. Spielberg's going to go.
I can't believe he's that kind of man.
Yeah, he's going to go through a catalog of all the gruesome crap he's done in his movies and do it to me because I'm criticizing him. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You're telling me I don't have a right to criticize Steven Spielberg?
You don't have the right to criticize Steven Spielberg because of his power in Hollywood, and you ought to know that.
But you just said you believe, you agree with me.
What, the three of the last five movies he made suck?
Yeah, three of the last five movies that he's made suck.
Yes, I agree with you.
Then why can't I say that?
Because this guy, the same guy that made Amistad, where he chained about 20 black people together and sent them off into the ocean. He drowned human beings.
Look, that was based on historical fact, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Phil, Spielberg came up with that. That was his own sick, diabolical twist.
He got together with the special effects people and said, you know what would be really cool? Let's chain a bunch of these blacks together and drown them.
He did not. That's exactly what those guys did when they brought the slaves over. They would drown people if there were too many of them.
I think it was his idea.
Yeah.
Well, then read a history book.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm telling you.
1-800-449-8686. Tony on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, good evening, Phil.
Good evening.
I'm pretty
yes, sir.
Pissed off about what the film critic is saying there. Listen, you can criticize anybody you want, and especially Spielberg,
not
since
Steven
the last three
Spielberg.
Movies he made really did suck.
Oh, wait a minute. You have gotten endless hours of enjoyment out of Steven Spielberg films.
I've enjoyed some of his movies, the earlier movies he's made, but
yes.
the last
yes.
few movies
Jaws,
have really sucked,
E.T.,
and he's not...
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom... The Last Crusade. What else, Phil?
Well, Saving Private Ryan was good.
Saving Private. He only honored an entire generation of fighting men who, up to that point, people had forgotten about.
Yeah, but you're pissing me off by trying to say that he's going to go after Phil Hendry, that he's going to come through the window with a machete or an axe or, you know, shoot him down somewhere. He can criticize him.
Okay, is this Tony? Tony, this is David
Yeah,
Hall.
This is Tony.
Tony, this is David Hall. In the movie Jurassic Park, there's a man who is trying to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And I'm sure you know the scene where he's sitting in an outhouse, he's trying to use the toilet, and what do you think Steven Spielberg does? He has the man eaten alive. Eaten alive by a Tyrannosaurus
But that's
rat.
Only in the damn movie.
Well, he's
not
trying
to come after Phil Hendry.
Well, the man is trying to evacuate his bowels.
Well,
yeah,
well so,
true.
All right, okay. So, Steven, let's all agree that Steven Spielberg is a sick, twisted guy.
Okay.
What makes these two, what makes you, David, and you, Margaret, think that Spielberg is going to come after me, you know, rip the heart out of my chest while it's still beating because I've criticized him?
You don't get to that height of power without a very, very big ego and a very big belief in yourself. And when someone comes along, especially you, you're a talk show host on the radio, Phil. I love you. I love your program, but it's about as low as it gets. Wouldn't you agree?
We're not the... Okay, radio is the low rung on the pole, sure.
All right. And Mr. Spielberg has to sit out there in traffic right now and listen to you criticize...
He says he's sitting out in traffic. He's probably thinking of his next movie that he's going to write, whether it's good or bad. Phil Hendry can still say... Hey, your movie sucked.
Tony,
we'll find out at the box office. But he's not going to come after Phil Hendry.
And Tony,
that's
what's
pissing
you?
Me off. That y'all keep saying, oh, he's going to come after you. Don't say this. Don't say that.
Well, what about you, Tony? Do you think you can sit out there and criticize Mr. Spielberg?
I don't think Tony's criticized Spielberg. I think he said he enjoyed his movies. I don't think he...
But he's backing you up.
So by extension, he's criticizing Mr. Spielberg. Are you willing to take that chance, Tony?
I'm willing to take that chance. And know that Spielberg's not going to come through my room machete or try to shoot me out on the street or shoot Mr. Hendry. How do you know he's not going to come after you, huh? How about you, film critic?
We're backing him up.
Why would he want to kill someone that has supported him? I've written positively about every one of his...
Are you people serious with this conversation we're having that Steven Spielberg is going to kill you?
And by the way, it's Mr. Spielberg. I don't know...
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I don't know where either one of you get off with this Spielberg thing.
What are you talking about?
You there, Tony?
What are you talking about?
I'm saying when you mention Mr. Spielberg's name, you say Mr.
Well, wait a minute. We can't even say...
You heard what I said.
All right. Mr. Spielberg, okay?
Look, in The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones has to go through a bunch of booby traps to get the Grail. How do we know that Steven Spielberg doesn't have a real booby trap maze in his backyard waiting for you? Or you, Tony. And you take one of those... what do they call those bamboo spikes? You take that one up your ass. You will not long forget that.
No, but how do you know he's not going to come after you? How do you know? What about you? You could have a spike up your ass right now. Maybe you fell in Spielberg's
trap. Well, guess
trap.
What? Guess what? It's
no,
not
you're
going
pissing
to
me off because you keep saying, oh, Spielberg's going to come after
you.
Will Henry. He might come after. He's not
you
coming after nobody.
You watch your step, Tony, when you talk about Mr. Spielberg.
Look, Steven Spielberg.
But let me bring up something that both of you guys have forgotten. You ever heard of a movie called Twilight Zone?
Now, wait just a minute.
No. You know that movie, Tony?
Yeah, I know the movie.
You know
what's
what happened?
Your point?
You know what happened on that movie, don't you?
Yeah, get to the point.
Vic Morrow lost his head.
Now, what are you saying now? You saying that Steven Spielberg did that?
An actor, his head was rolling down the street when they finally caught up to it.
And Spielberg did that on purpose, I guess.
I don't know what Vic Morrow was asking. I don't know what kind of money they were paying him. A man died in the making of one of his movies, Tony. Yeah, it's got you thinking about it now, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's got you thinking about it, too, that maybe some of his movies do suck, huh?
Look back into the bowl before you pull the chain down there in Houston.
All right, look.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think you're getting into some dangerous territory.
I'm not getting any dangerous territory. I love Steven Spielberg.
We love him.
Yeah, but you just intimated that Spielberg killed Vic Morrow on the set of The Twilight Zone on purpose.
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
Well, Phil, this is getting us nowhere. We have the facts. Fact. Vic Morrow showed up that morning on the set with a head. Fact. Vic Morrow left that movie that night without one. Fact.
Okay, I got your facts. Jacob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Well, is that's actually your boss?
Mr. David Hall. David, you can tell him. You run the syndication arm of the Phil Hendry Show.
Vice President of Syndication.
Okay, you said something about being a critic?
I write a column. My name's Margaret Gray, yes.
Okay, if you're a critic in any degree, then you need to actually criticize what you're supposed to be criticizing over. Don't be such a scaredy cat about a guy just because I've pulled scarier things out of the nether regions of my body than he's actually made about movies. I mean, I can write
scarier stuff
than him. What the hell
does that mean? What is that supposed to mean?
In other words, I can write scarier stuff than him, and that doesn't mean I'm going to, even if I had the pull that he might have, that doesn't mean I would actually go out and do stuff like that. And if you're so scared about that stuff, then quit your job. Quit doing, quit giving him a hard time. Just shut the hell up.
Jacob, I guarantee you've never thought of anything scarier than ripping the still beating heart, the still warm and beating.
Can I interrupt something here?
You're a wuss.
Oh, really? The still warm and beating heart out of a man's chest?
Can I interrupt and say something here?
What?
Go ahead.
That move with the beating heart, Steven Spielberg ripped that off from about 1,000 kung fu movies that were done like 30 years before that.
Bullcrap?
You can look at any Bruce Lee flick. He's always ripping some guy's heart out of his chest.
Bruce Lee was after Steven Spielberg came on the scene.
No, he was not. Bruce Lee was on, wasn't he?
You don't know. See, you don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, I've seen much scarier movies with much more weird, messed up effects and weird thought up stuff. Let's see, Freddy Krueger, Jason. Oh my gosh, those are a lot more scarier than
That's kid stuff. Because Spielberg stuff is stuff that could actually happen. That Krueger crap.
Oh my gosh.
What?
What is wrong with you? Are you so? Why are you so damn scared?
No,
I'm
just saying. Am I a puss? You're the guy that's going to sit out there and risk having something like this happen to you.
I would tell him right to his face that you've made some crappy movies recently.
You know
so
something,
what the hell's
Jacob?
Matter?
So, in other words, you don't fear backing into an airplane propeller?
I don't see him doing that to me because that would be a real stupid move.
Well, you obviously haven't worked in the entertainment industry. You're not even thinking of Chris. Don't even think of Chris. What are you laughing about?
Well, the whole thing is absurd, okay?
So, that you're so scared of everything you do.
You better be
scared. Trying to look your back. If you're so scared,
you better be scared.
Get out of your job.
Hey.
Quit your job. Go find something else to do if you're too scared to do your job.
Hey, you heard about what we said about that Twilight Zone movie. That movie started shooting. There were two Vietnamese kids that ain't in it anymore after the movie wrapped.
Oh, God. Okay, look, I gotta hang up on both of you. You gonna get me sued? All right.
Well,
thank you, Jacob.
No problem.
Thank you. Just for the record, Mr. Spielberg, certainly I want to say that I've always been a fan from Sugarland Express. Yeah. Oh, Duel. No, that was the one. And then everyone, all of them were good. I love them. Excuse me. A little cold. I love them all. I particularly loved Hook. And Amistad was really good, too. Especially Amistad. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, Spielberg has done, like, some movies that weren't that good. Let's just say here, the last two times at bat, AI. Although, who am I to say? And the other one, Jurassic Park 3, which we get it already about the dinosaurs. And now, when you see those dinosaurs, they look fake. First time I saw it, it looked fantastic. Second time, I didn't even see Lost World. I've only seen the first one. That was pretty cool. The raptors, the T-Rexes, the brontosauruses sneezing bronto slime all over those guys up in the trees. Now they're just one big cartoon. These special effects are great, but don't make any mistake, man. You can still tell they're special effects, can't you? Like, did you see in Pearl Harbor? You saw the fake planes. You know which ones those were. They're the ones that look like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. Just sort of like little animated planes. And his last two movies. But, you know, the great thing about Steven Spielberg is he did find a niche. He found the Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List. Niche. Great stuff. Great historical drama. I realize you can't let Timmy and Judy in to see it. I know that it isn't for little ones. Can't we, as I've said on the show before, can't we have a couple of movies that are just for us grown-ups? Can't we go and see something disturbing? And, you know, not have to worry, oh, geez, we got to get the kids in on this one, so let's cut that and cut this, cut that, cut this. And the next thing, you got a movie that nobody wants to look at, other than, you know, the rottenest movies that I've seen over the last 3 years, my kids go, oh, it's pretty good. Hey, how'd you like Scary Movie 2? Wasn't bad. It was really funny. And my kids will say things to me like this. Hey, really, seriously, there's some really funny stuff in Little Nicky. What's the funniest movie you ever saw in your life? Oh, Tommy Boy. Okay, well, fine. Moving on to other items that I wanted to mention. We have a website that we're trying desperately to get up and running. And this funniest thing, last 2 years I've been trying to get a website going for the show, and I can't do it. I can't get the website that I want. The website that I want is the one that was designed by Bill. I like that website. But I don't know what I've done wrong. I can't seem to get that website going. And I'm asking myself, what's the value of a website anyway? What is that? Is that just an ego stroke for people? Ooh, wow, it's the internet. Let's get a website. Do you think it has any real value for a radio show? Now, I understand Amazon.com. There have been success stories. And in the internet world, they measure success by the number of hits, which we in radio recognize as being only one half of the story. It's not the whole story. If you really want to know how good you're doing, if you have a website, you have to know how long they're staying on the site going through the material there. Just hits doesn't tell you anything. That's like how many people just tune in and tune out to a radio show. It doesn't tell you anything. And I'm beginning to wonder whether it is, for a radio show, a valuable thing to have a website. And I'm rapidly coming to the conclusion that it doesn't help me one bit. And what has happened to me since the internet phenomenon approached the Phil Hendry Show is it's hurting me, because we have a lot of people who claim to like this show taking the audio from it and posting it all over the place. posting it on Napster, setting up listening posts, setting up sound pages, setting up their own archives. There's some guy that took every single show that we ever did in the year 1998, every single show, and has put it on a site someplace. So the effect of all of this is to hurt this radio show, because why do you want to sit and listen to the show when you can just go and listen to all this archive stuff for free anytime, day or night? And this was the discussion that I got into with a friend of mine recently who said, you know, you really shouldn't charge a subscription fee, and you really shouldn't limit the access to your audio because they're going to get it anyway. And to which I responded, well, that, you know, is kind of like Metallica saying, okay, we realize our music's getting bootlegged. We realize there's all kinds of free MP3s on it. Okay, we'll stop selling our records. We'll just give them away. That nobody's saying that they should do that. Even the people that were opposed to Metallica's stand on Napster, nobody was saying, stop selling your records. Were they? That's what these guys that supposedly advised me are telling me to do. Just give it all away. And in so doing, all it does is hurt this show. So as far as I'm concerned, until somebody can prove otherwise, all the internet does is hurt mediums like radio. Doesn't help us. I mean, I believe it hurts us, unless, of course, the only people that are really accessing the net other than people who need informational help are just a lot of no-life VCR-petting geeks. And they just kind of trade all this audio back and forth, and the illusion is created that you're some kind of a real popular guy out there in internet land, which I, with all due respect, don't need to be. I don't really care whether I am or not. What I care about is people listening to this show. So as I sit here and ponder the website that we don't yet have, and I would like to also thank Keith Rowland, who took over administering our site for a long time and did a great job. And he knows that I wanted something. He's a fantastic technical mind. And then I wanted to kind of evolve it creatively. But as I sit here tonight pondering our website or lack thereof, I come to these conclusions that there is no need to have a website. There is no need to have our audio archived. There isn't any need to live stream. There isn't any need to have any of anything to do whatsoever with the internet. Now, if you want to talk to me about satellite radio, digital satellite, you want to talk about new technologies involving how this show is delivered to radio receivers around the country, well, I'll sit down and listen. The internet ain't it. Not until it becomes more portable and mobile. Until then, all it is, and all it has been for me over the last year and a half, is a source of daily heartache, having to listen to and deal with the people who claim to want to help me put a website up and yet are ineffective at doing it. So, and not that anybody's going to listen to my opinion, but if anybody did say to me, well, Phil, what do you want to do? You want to have the website or not? I would say no. Take the bloody thing down. And, oh, yeah, anybody that's offering our audio anywhere out there, shut their sites down, too. Which is what I want to warn all of you guys right now. Anybody offering my audio out there, of course, I would like to download it from your site because it sounds interesting. I'm going to shut you down. Phil Henry Show.